Ladies and gentlemen, as another attraction, we wish to present dos loco americanos comedians.
Hello, and welcome to the LWYM podcast. And here's our host, Gio.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to the new and revamped LWIM podcast. This is your host, Gio, and we've got a couple of exciting announcements. First and foremost, the LWIM podcast has gone over a remake. We have new additions. We have new sections of the podcast, including a sports review, a debate portion, and of course our main topic of the day, in which today I have a very special guest with me. I have Cassandra, who is a regular attendee of our youth group.
Hello.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Today we're going to be talking about image. There was a commercial put out by Sprite a long time ago where it says image is everything. And we're going to delve into that on what the culture talks about image and so on and so forth. But before we do that, if you guys want to comment or ask us any questions, feel free to email us, info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. You can download these podcasts for free on our audio page, our website, lwim.org, which stands for Living Word Youth Ministries. Now, we are coming at you live from the frat hall in our church, which is where we meet. So if you guys hear any noise in the background, that's usually all the women talking anyway. So, all right. So, Cassandra, let's delve into this issue. In your mind, according to what the culture and the society tells us about image, what have you gathered watching TV, going on the internet, looking at films, reading magazines? How important is image to this culture?
Very important. It's, I guess, people nowadays, they see image as, I guess, your identity. You define yourself by your image or what everybody else's image of you is or how they see you.
Now, in order to portray a certain image, how do you do that?
I think it's hard to portray a certain image because you have to let go of yourself. Because when you're, I guess, very candid and, how do I say this? I guess it's a more personal, it's very easy to be yourself. But when you're an image, you have to take yourself out of the picture because I guess in this culture today, an image is something that you're not or something that
you aren't. In essence, you're denying who you are, your individuality.
Of course.
Now, has this happened to you where you've had to deny your individuality and give up something of yourself in order to fit in?
I think the current that is running through the youth nowadays is, and I have to say I have been part of it.
I can identify myself. I had moments in my life where I felt like I had to dress a certain way, speak a certain way in order to fit in. But then when you start growing up, you start noticing that when you deny more of that individuality that God places in you, the more you get away from being content, from having a good relationship with God. And I think, well, explain it to me from a woman's point of view. In which way do you see that the culture tells you that you have to change who you are in order to fit in order to be part of this cultural image?
Well, I mean, it's bombarded through you through TV and through music and through the radio and how people dress. It's all about sex appeal.
Everything. Sex appeal. Could you explain that?
Of course. I mean, us as women, they tend to, you know, degrade us. You know, we're compared to, you know, everything except, you know, I guess what we should be valued and
right.
We're not.
Right.
And, you know, we're taught that we have to cater to a man's sexual libido. And, you know, I mean, dress skanky, act skanky, you know, it's all about what the man wants. It's nothing about what we want.
Now, I do plenty of shopping in some of these convenience stores, like the Walgreens, for example, and CVS to get diapers, so on and so forth, because I have kids. And I've noticed that a lot of times, especially on the newsstands and right before you're going to the cash register, they have magazines full of all this stuff of, you know, and especially on the title part of the page, on the main page, you see anything that has to do with sex. And most of the time it's a woman dressed or a celebrity dressed in a certain provocative way in order to get the attention of the person who's going to read it. Now, I'm imagining women are the ones who read these kind of periodicals the most. Have you ever read any of these magazines, and what is it that they usually say if you have?
Oh, of course. They give you everything from like 100 tricks to please a man and how to dress alluringly and how to flirt, you know, on every occasion and, you know, in order to, I guess, attract the male attention. But, I mean, none of these periodicals, you know, talk about edifying your life or anything about food or about books or about
or respecting
music.
Yourself.
Nothing.
Or respecting yourself. You know, it's also an interesting thing to look at is Hollywood. Hollywood portrays this image of women as, again, like you said, a very disposable item. But at the same time, we also understand that the feminist movement has had plenty to do with the degradation of women, even though they don't look at it that way. They say, no, women's rights are something that we continually fight for and strive for.
Of course.
But yet, all we see in Hollywood, in rap music, for example, in periodicals, all we see in this stuff is the degradation of women. When you think about feminism, you're still in high school and you still see a lot of this. Have you ever met a feminist, and what is it that they tell you that a feminist goal is?
Well, I guess there's different kinds of feminists because there's very radical feminists or whatever. I've never met such one, but a feminist in essence believes that a woman has the right to date whoever she wants. Her body is her own and she gives it to whoever she wants. And I guess in essence, I guess the liberty that they fight for us,
right,
that they want to give us as women, is what degrades us the most. Because at the end of the day, if you're telling a woman that she can give her body to whoever she wants, that's exactly what she's going to do. And that's not exactly what we should be doing.
Yeah, it's very funny how they portray the Bible, for example. They portray it as something that holds you back. It's something that gives you a lot of prohibition. And in essence, they say that the Bible or God or religion, because they use that term very loosely, they say it captivates the woman from her sexual freedom and her and being a free person. But in reality, what we see is that instead of becoming free, what they're doing is that they're turning the woman into a libertine. A libertine is completely different from being a person who's free. Being free means that you're free to do what God has given you to do, giving you the freedom to be yourself, the freedom to worship God, to be a son or daughter of the living creator. But now when we have movements such as the feminist movement, yes, they tell you we're going to offer you freedom, but it's funny how you say that, and it's interesting how you put it, which is true. In reality, they're degrading you at the same way that a rapper is.
Well, I think what they need to understand is that sex cages you in. It doesn't give you any freedom.
Explain that. That's good. Explain that to me. How does it cage you in?
Because it's like an addiction. It's sin. It's bad. So once you get a taste of it, it's so addicting that you just want more, but it doesn't please you enough. It doesn't give
that's,
you.
That's interesting. I had never, you know what, that you bring such a good definition and such a good point. I had never thought about it that way. So it doesn't please you, but yet you keep coming back to it. How does that happen?
I guess because we as women, we're looking to fill like some sort of relational void or emotional void.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I mean, I can say it through personal experience, it leaves you emptier than before.
What got you to the point where you said enough is enough? Where you had to change and say, I have to give my life to the Lord and I need to make a drastic change?
Well, it's sad to say I had to really reach rock bottom and really hit like a very, very, very dark point. And I was sucked in very, 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 very badly. And I had a very big, I guess, how do I say this? I guess news. I had a very big news in my life. And I guess the fear of going in deeper made me want to see the light again.
Right. So when you got to that point where you hit rock bottom and you went to God, what was that like when you gave your life over again to Him? What was that like for you?
It was relieving. It took a lot of pain and a lot of baggage off my shoulders. I was blaming myself for a lot of things that I had done and my behavior, and I guess, you know, I felt that I had brought this like upon myself, and I don't know, I got to see myself beautiful again in God's eyes again.
Very interesting enough. So you got to a point where even though the culture told you that, yes, you are beautiful by doing the things they tell you to do, you didn't feel beautiful again until you came to the feet of the Lord again. It's interesting. When you read the Bible, Paul, the Apostle Paul, tells us that men must look at women as a fragile cup, like a like something that you just don't throw away, something that you value and treasure, which it should be that way, because women are just, you're more fragile than men are. You have to be, you have to take care of them. We're different. God made us and wired us, men different, to be protectors of the family, to be the providers. Women are more of the love, you know, that emotion inside of the house, inside of the household. And that's, we see that there's an order established by God, but the culture tells us, no, that's not the way it is. But what we're saying is the following, is that there is an established order placed by God. And when you get away from that, you start sinking yourself into this hole where there is no escape except through Jesus Christ, of course. So, Cassandra, thank you for sharing with us.
You're welcome.
We hope to have you back. And this has been very enlightening. And I hope those of you young ladies that are listening to us today, if you have had a similar experience like Cassandra and you feel like writing her an email, please give us your email address if that's cool with you.
Of course. I have two siblings at yahoo.com. I'll spell it out for you because everyone always has a problem spelling this. IHAVETWOSIBLINGS at yahoo.com.
So, ladies, if you feel like this has been an inspiration for you, and if you feel that this podcast and this section of the podcast has been of edification for you, drop Cassandra online and let her know that her testimony has been a blessing to your life. And also email us with any comments or questions. info@lwym.org. info@lwym.org. I have to take this moment also, if you are in the South Florida area, if you are in the vicinity, please visit us every Friday night at 8 p.m. That's when our services begin. And trust me, you will have not only a fun time and an exciting time, but a time that is fulfilling and in the Lord, of course. Now, we'll be back with our sports section of the podcast right after this. Don't tune out. All right, ladies and gents, we are back here in the LWYM podcast, and as promised, the newly expanded LWYM podcast. And in this section, we're going to talk sports. We're simply going to take a moment and deal with whatever is the big news in sports. And right now, that would be the World Cup. The World Cup is going on. We've already been through about a week, 2 weeks of this situation. And we just want to do a weeks in review, so to speak. And with me to do that, I have Salvador Amador, who also is a regular attendee of LWYM.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. Whenever time of the day you're listening to this podcast, it works either way. So, all right, Salvador, so give me your impressions of what the World Cup has been to you. Exciting, boring, what do you think?
I think the World Cup is like getting its momentum. Like it's starting off slow, but it's going to start off, it's going to get better and better as soon as the people start getting eliminated.
Right.
Let's see how much they want that cup.
Right.
Because if you don't really want it, then you're going to lose. But if you want it, you'll fight for it.
What is the biggest surprise for you so far?
Spain losing yesterday against Switzerland, 1-0.
That was pretty shocking. To me, I'll tell you what. To me, I think Argentina looked really good.
Yeah.
4-1. Even though they gave up that goal, it was kind of a careless goal to Korea. They should have shut that thing out. They looked really impressive, and Messi looked really impressive with the assist.
Yeah.
Obviously, he demands a lot of attention from the defenders, so they paid a lot of attention to him, and because of that, Argentina is able to free up and score.
Yeah, he got double teamed, so then the other forwards could attack.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. The other team that's looking pretty impressive to me right now is Germany.
Yeah, Germany. Yeah.
Germany looked good. The United States has to win.
Yeah, they have to. They have 1 point. And if they lose, you know, they're going to be, like, in third place, and they have to win the next game.
Salvador, let's talk about the controversy of the USA game versus England. Do you think that game, because a lot of people have argued this for days now, before they play Slovenia, and that is that goal was unmerited. England should have won that game. And I understand the arguments. Yes, the goalkeeper, England's goalkeeper should have had that. It was a simple play. Regardless, it was a butterfinger play.
It was a goal.
Like, right? It counts. So technically, on the page, on the stat sheet, they tied.
Yeah.
Do you think the United States has what it takes to move on?
Yeah, I think they do, because the next two groups are pretty easy. It's Slovenia and Algeria. I think they could like really beat Algeria 2-0, and Slovenia, they can give them a really good game, because Slovenia beat Algeria, I think, 1-0. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's going to be pretty good.
What do you think about Portugal, even though they tied with the Ivory Coast? What do you think?
They have Ronaldo, you know, the best paid man in the soccer league. How do you lose? How do you lose with the best player, supposedly, right? But this shows that it's not just one man. It's 11 other guys playing. But Portugal should go far. They should.
Who do you think is going to win the whole thing?
The whole thing? What? I'll give you two. The fiction and the realistic.
Okay.
Right? I wouldn't mind Mexico to win. I wouldn't mind.
Okay.
But the realistic, it would either have to be Argentina or Brazil.
Argentina or Brazil? Why would you take any of those two picks?
Because Argentina they attack a lot. If you notice, like, teams that win, they can run. They can run and, like, and as soon as the ball comes back, they run.
Well, they even have fast defenders.
They have fast defenders, right? And they can come back. That's the key to winning. The running, the speed, I mean, the speed and the synchronization. Like, mm-hmm. for example, like Honduras game yesterday, half of the people didn't ever played on Honduras, right? So what happened is they didn't know how to play as a team, right? They have great players, but they didn't know how to play as a team. It's like me and you. I have never played with you.
Right.
But if I play with you, you're not going to know what talent I have.
You
got
to get to know each other.
They have to get to know each other. And that's what happened yesterday. That's why they lost to Chile 1-0. Because Chile has more experience.
Who do you think is a contender?
Contender? England.
England.
Yeah.
And Dark Horse, something that'll surprise you. Might be a surprise out of the pack.
Ivory Coast. Yeah.
This is a correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not much into soccer. I like the World Cup, but I'm not much into soccer. This is the team that has Drogba, right?
I think they have Drogba.
Yes, this is a team that has Drogba.
He recently got injured, and then I
noticed that they brought him in towards the end of the game against Portugal. So obviously that was a tight game, because defensively it seems like both teams are sound. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct. Okay. But like, you don't need your star. For example, you saw Germany. Mm-hmm. They missed their star player and they still won. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's not one guy.
Right.
For example, Messi could like be out the game, but the Argentina will still win.
Right.
Right. So.
But you know, I've noticed that a lot of these superstars out of each team, they seem to facilitate, and it's like that in any sport.
Yeah.
You look at basketball and any other sport. It seems like the star player of the team, he demands more attention, and it's up to the other players, the supporting cast, to pick up their game and help them out. And I think that's what happened. That's what's happened with Argentina. It seems like Messi demands a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And if the other players can pick up their game and play well, they're unbeatable. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of these good players demand double and triple teams. We've seen that now in basketball with the finals. Kobe has demanded a lot of attention.
Yeah, I like how the announcer says it. Like, when you put his hand in front of his face, you can't do anything else about that. You can't put, like, if the ball's going, like, right over your hand, you can't do anything else about that.
Absolutely.
Like, Kobe is really good. He can hang in the air, and he could, like, make the ball in.
Absolutely.
So can't I know argue he's a good player.
I know momentarily we went from soccer to to basketball. Forgive us, but just to make an analogy here.
Yeah.
Salvador, thank you very much for being on here with us. And we'll be right back with our debate portion of the podcast. Do not leave. And we're back. We're going to do something very interesting on this podcast, and it is the following. We're going to take this portion and we're going to play devil's advocate with one of our students at LWIM. With me now is Catherine.
Hi.
Hernandez. And Catherine, you're going to give us a news bit, an interesting news bit that's not very much reported in the news. And we're going to argue about why we are either in favor or not in favor, but I'm going to play devil's advocate, and we're going to basically have a little debate here as to the pros and cons.
Okay.
So, Catherine, give us the news bit, and then we'll get into the discussion.
Well, in a recent case that came out recently, in Philadelphia, they're trying to evict this group of Boy Scouts from using the building that they've been using for years because they refuse to allow homosexuals as their leaders or as members.
So, Catherine, why is it a bad thing that homosexuals would be leaders of Boy Scouts?
Well, first of all, I believe first, the main reason I believe it's wrong is because they're just a group of kids. Why do a group of kids have to be exposed to that kind of belief and that kind of ideal? If their leaders, the ones that are in charge now, are not in favor of that, then why should they expose the children to that?
Absolutely.
And also, God says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:4, that do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders.
Now, a lot of homosexuals would argue, Catherine, that they should have equal rights, just like married people. And you even hear the terminology civil rights, just like African Americans, like black people, decades ago were fighting for. But they have the same rights. Mm-hmm. We see that they have the right to vote. They have the right to have a job. It's not like if they're being discriminated against. Mm-hmm. What most of us are against, and the American public is against, is calling their unions, their relationships, a marriage, because mm-hmm. that is defined as between a man and a woman. But I ask you again, playing devil's advocate, what's wrong with homosexuals participating in these types of areas of society?
Well, I personally believe that if they're participating in private sectors and in these kind of areas in society, as you put it, I think that it's wrong because they're putting it out there for people, and then people see it and then they want to do it. They think it's interesting. They want to go out there and try it. But it goes against God's word. Hmm. That's why I'm so against it.
So you bring a good point, and I'll go with you on this one. I'm not going to play devil's advocate because I like the point you're bringing here, and it's the following. In other words, they're using this as a portal to get their lifestyle, mm-hmm. shall we say, their lifestyle and their way of living out there to the public, to the children, mm-hmm. to these young kids who are just there to learn etiquette, to learn, you know, because the Boy Scouts they've been around for a while, mm-hmm. and they've done a lot of good things for society. They mold and shape our children to have good morals, mm-hmm. to be respectful of others. They teach them lasting values and mm-hmm. principles. But yet we see that now homosexuals are trying to creep themselves into these areas of society, like we just mentioned, in order to indoctrinate them. And I mm-hmm. think that's an excellent point that you bring here. Now, going back to my devil's advocate issue here, having to play that role again. If homosexuals want to get into this area of society, and we argue that they simply want to do it because they simply want to participate, if they simply want to participate and be a part of that, why would you have something against that?
Well, it's not the issue of participating. It's just that in they're bringing it out there, they're showing it to the public. Like I said before, they're indoctrinating a lot of kids and a lot of people, a lot of young people who aren't sure or whatever. And I personally had the experience of talking to a lot of youth, and I know that some of them, they personally told me that they've been around so many gay or homosexual people that they followed that crowd just to be in the crowd. Wow. So it's just because it's a private organization, it's not just a regular job, as we would say, because we're not taking that right away from them.
Right.
I think that they shouldn't, because they're bringing it out there to a lot of people.
Well, it's a private organization. The private organization can do whatever they want to
do. Exactly.
That's my point. They're trying to impose their will on a private organization. Now, Catherine, it's important to note, a lot of people will call people like you and me homophobics, mm-hmm. we're hate mongers, we're bigots. We don't hate homosexuals.
Of course not.
We don't hate anybody. We just don't like the lifestyle because it's sinful. It's against God. It's against God's will. It's against God's word. And therefore, we do not condone it. We don't approve of it. So that being said, also bringing and keeping this in the context of what you're bringing, this is a private organization. Mm-hmm. This is funded by private donations, by private money. Mm-hmm. Okay? If they want to do something, build your own organization.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have to impose yourself on a private organization. Final thoughts.
Besides, I was also, when I was doing this article, I was reading the information that I had, and part of it said that The Supreme Court years ago had said that since it's a private organization, they can decide whatever they want.
Absolutely.
But the Philadelphia says that it goes against the Philadelphia Constitution, their laws or whatever, and they're saying that because their Constitution is older than the United States Constitution, that they should get the right hand.
That's interesting, because when you look at it, that has to be, I could be wrong in this situation, but that has to be an activist judge, because the states. Rights, yes, they do compose the government. They make up, it's a government for the people and by the people. But at the end of the day, the U.S. Constitution supersedes all state statutes and state constitutions. Okay? So the U.S. Constitution is the law of the land. Mm-hmm. We have to keep that in mind. Catherine, thank you for being here with us in our debate portion of the podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have left for today. We hope that you have enjoyed this. Continue to download these podcasts as we put them out there on our website, lwam.org. These are free. Share them with your friends and family members. Lastly, before I leave, I'd like to invite you to our Friday meetings. If you are in the South Florida vicinity, please visit us every single Friday night at 8 p.m. The address is 3175 Southwest 25th Street, 3175 Southwest 25th Street. Until next time, may the Lord shine his face upon you. God bless you. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily representative of those of LWIM, Living Word Church, Rema Church Incorporated, or of its staff.